Hello, everybody. This is Cindy Rushton, and this is my podcast for this week on experiencing the Psalms. My psalm for this week is going to be the beautiful psalm that's found in Psalm 37. It says there, and I just want to read this from the New Revised Standard Version. It says there, "Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. He will make your vindication shine like the light, and the justice of your cause like the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, for it leads only to evil. For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord shall inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look diligently for their place, they will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for He sees that their day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend their bows to bring down the poor and the needy, to kill those who walk uprightly. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Better is a little that the righteous person has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will abide forever. They are not put to shame in the evil times. In the days of famine they have abundance. But the wicked perish, and the enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke. They vanish away. The wicked borrow and do not pay back, but the righteous are generous and keep giving. For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, but those cursed by Him shall be cut off. Our steps are made firm by the Lord when He delights in our way. Though we stumble, we shall not fall headlong, for the Lord holds us by the hand. I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. They are ever giving liberally and lending, and their children become a blessing. Depart from evil and do good, so you shall abide forever. For the Lord loves justice. He will not forsake His faithful ones. The righteous shall be kept safe forever, but the children of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and live in it forever. The mouths of the righteous utter wisdom, and their tongues speak justice. The law of their God is in their hearts, and their steps do not slip. The wicked watch for the righteous and seek to kill them. The Lord will not abandon them to their power, or let them be condemned when they are brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep His ways. He will exalt you to inherit the land, and you will look on the destruction of the wicked. I have seen the wicked oppressing and towering like the cedar of Lebanon. Again I passed by, and they were no more. And though I sought them, they could not be found. Mark the blameless, and behold the upright, for there is posterity for the peaceable. But the transgressors shall be altogether destroyed. The posterity of the wicked shall be cut off. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their refuge in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and rescues them. He rescues them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in Him." Is that not powerful? Well, you guys, Psalm 37 is definitely a psalm that is a psalm of trust. It was a psalm that was written around 1000 BC. It's attributed to David and believed to have been written when he was actually old. Did you see that passage right there in verse 25 where it's talking about, I've been young, now I'm old? It is believed that that right there tells us that David was older when this was written. This is a psalm that is lyrical, meaning that it was written to actually be set to music and to be a song that was being sung in worship. Its content, its imagery, and its structure all come together to support its message that God, Jehovah, that is his name in this passage, the Lord with all caps, Jehovah is showing us that he is God who is everything, everything that we will ever need, the God who sees, the God who hears, the God who is everything we'll ever need. What's really important in context is, as you see here, where there is that struggle of, where are you, God? Do you see? Do you hear? Do you notice that the wicked are getting away with what they're doing? And I am your servant. I am seeking to do things your way. And I'm actually being persecuted. I'm actually struggling. I'm actually suffering. And this doesn't even make sense. But it's very important to look at who God is in this passage and who he's communicating that he is. Because with Jehovah, or Lord, we see that he is a covenant God and that he is in control of his entire creation. And we can trust him. We can place our faith in him. We can place our faith in him to bring blessings and rewards, and also that he will take care of everything. We have to have total confidence. In fact, I love that this is a psalm of trust, and it shows us that we can truly trust God to be able to take care of everything. The next thing I want to bring out is that Psalm 37 is found following Psalm 36. And I think this is interesting even to continue this thought a little bit further. Psalm 36 addresses human weakness and transgressions, and it also addresses God's divine goodness. And this is so important that it follows up with Psalm 37, where we are seeing that God, he does answer our cry. And again, it focuses on him as Jehovah, that he sees human weakness. He sees sin. He also sees our struggles. He sees our concerns. He sees our heartaches. He sees our difficulties. But he is good. And you know, we have to truly know this to be able to be rock solid with whatever comes our way. So this is, I think, very interesting that this psalm follows Psalm 37. And there's always that consideration when we're looking at anything in Scripture, what comes before it, what comes after it, where is it located? And so I think that that's very beautiful how it, after looking at that, I could even see a deeper truth there. Now, Psalm 37 is a beautiful example of wisdom literature. Trimper Longman reminds us that this genre, interestingly, connects the reader, or the singer in this case, to the truth that is reflected by creation and speaks of God's creation, his law, his blessings for the righteous, and the eventual punishment of the wicked. The literary devices are intended to support the message here and even to help us interpret the message properly so that we can see God's attention upon injustice. And we can see that the writer is addressing that difficult question of why do the righteous suffer and the wicked seem to prosper? That is an age-old question. And I love that even 1,000 years BC, we see God addressing this. And this is so applicable to us today. Now, this brings me to the poetic structure of Psalm 37. It is set up in structure as an acrostic. Now, I just love this because I began reading it and I was like, ooh, this sounds like an acrostic. And then I looked it up and it was an acrostic. Now, it's interesting that acrostics are used for many purposes, which interestingly would also work well supporting the content and the message of this psalm. For memory, first of all, because this content is very important for a person or a believer to remember when they're facing situations that are so common to all mankind. Again, it leads to that big question, why do bad things happen to good people and good things happen to people who are so evil? It's very important to remember that the wisdom of this passage, we need to remember it in our everyday life. And an acrostic can support memorization and recall, and it can actually give us a place to hang these beautiful truths. Another thing about an acrostic, and I think that it's very true for this particular passage, is that it reinforces the truths that it's trying to impart. About every fourth line of this psalm, it begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Trimper Longman says it this way in How to Read the Psalms. He says, one of the more interesting twists on the poetic line in the Old Testament is the so-called acrostic poem. An acrostic is a poem in which the first letter of each line taken together forms a recognizable pattern. While some poems from the ancient times, such as some Babylonian poems, spell out the name of the scribe who copied the text or perhaps some hidden message, the examples of the Old Testament all follow the order of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, interestingly, this acrostic structure reminds the reader that, again, just by being an acrostic, just by having this order, that, again, God is in control. Can you just think for a moment about how amazing that it has this beautiful flow, but yet it's like the ABCs. Like A is for apple, B is for boy. You know, this is literally an alphabetical type poem or type writing. And yet look how beautiful. Just the cohesiveness, just the beauty, the encouragement. I believe it just shows that God is a God who's in control, even of beautiful literature. And you know, I think that this is, again, a message that's very needed. Now, this specific acrostic has two lines for each letter of the alphabet, except for A-N, and I hope I said that right. I've never studied Hebrew, so forgive me if I mess it up. But this style is a deliberate, and I believe a miraculous choice for the reader, and the singer would have recognized the higher structure and order, and it would bring them to more praise and adoration of God. And the very nature of an acrostic shows that there must have been a higher structure or order behind the words. It must have had design and thought behind it. The acrostic style used in Psalm 37 hints at the design and the order, much like the order and the style that we observe in the natural world, and it hints at God as a creator God. I think this is very important considering that, remember how so often when we struggle, we wonder, where is God? Well, let me tell you, He is sitting on His throne, unmoved. He is all-powerful. He has the power of creation, and He Himself, He's not forgot us. We've got to know that. And things have to go by His design because He is the creator and it is His design. So we can rest in this. And I think that just this acrostic, bringing that back around, it totally supports the whole message of this psalm. We see other literary devices in this psalm as well. We see simile. Longman says it this way. He says, in Psalm 37, a psalm of trust, the enemy is not compared to a beast of prey, but rather to grass which will soon be cut down. Do not fret, it says, because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they shall soon wither. Like green plants, they shall soon die away. So it uses simile. It also uses repetition. A great example of this is where it says, inheriting the land. It's repeated in verses 9, 11, 22, and 29. Interestingly, this is linked to Deuteronomy 30, 20, and even Isaiah 40, 11 in the Old Testament. It reminds us that God is a covenant God. Now, isn't this coming back around again and again, you guys? Meaning that He's Jehovah, I am. And this literary device of repetition further instills the great truth that we can count on God to take good care of us. He's in covenant with us. And I'm telling you guys, we've got to lay a hold of this when we go through tough times. He's in covenant with us. He sees, He hears what's happening. And He is ready, willing, and able to take good care of His own. We also see comparison and contrast. We see the wicked contrasted with the righteous. We see the permanent nature of righteous and their inheritance as compared to the temporary successes and prosperity of the wicked. We see imagery in this as a literary device, reminding the reader or the singer that God is a Jehovah, the great I am, the covenant God, the creator in control, and he's not going to fail. He will not go back on his word. Again, it says here that those who are wicked are going to wither like grass. They're going to die away like green plant. They're going to be like green plants or like green trees in the native soil. They will die away. These devices further support the message of this psalm. I mentioned just a moment ago that you can see the use of this psalm or the parallels of this psalm if you look at Deuteronomy 30:20 and Isaiah 40:11. You can also see it in Proverbs 3:31, Proverbs 23:17 through 18, Psalm 73:3, Proverbs 24:19. You can see it in 2 Kings 19:26, Job 14:2. Psalm 102:4, Isaiah 47. You can see it in Psalms 90 verse 6. You can see it in Psalm 92:7. You can see it in James 1:10, Deuteronomy 30:20, Isaiah 40:11, Ezekiel 34:14, John 10:9, Job 27:10, Isaiah 58:14, Job 7:6. Psalms 21:2. Can you believe this? This many passages that validate this the very truths in this passage. Proverbs 16:3, 1 Peter 5:7. That's in the New Testament. You can see it in Psalm 18:24, Psalm 103:17, Psalms 112:3, Micah 7:9, Job 11:17, Exodus 14:14, Isaiah 41:1. Psalm 62:5, Lamentations 3:26, Psalm 27:14, Psalm 41, Psalms 130:5, Isaiah 38:13, Habakkuk 3:16, Romans 8:25, Jeremiah 12:1, and Psalm 21:11, Psalms 26:10, Psalm 119:150. Ephesians 4:31, Colossians 3:8, Psalms 31:22, Psalms 101:8, Psalms 118:10, Proverbs 2:22, stick with me, not much more, but Isaiah 25:9, Isaiah 26:8, Isaiah 40:31, Isaiah 49:23, Isaiah 51:5, Psalm 25:13, Isaiah 49:8, Isaiah 57:13, and Isaiah 60:21. Hey, those 40 verses are parallel with all across Scripture. Is that amazing? Is that beautiful? Because these truths are so important. They are so pivotal for the Christian. I really, really love it where Jesus himself quotes Psalm 37:11 in the New Testament. He says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." And it says in Psalm 37:11a, it says, "But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity." Is that beautiful? I love that there are all these references and parallels to in the Scripture. And yet, okay, how do we make this ours today? Well, I just want to give you one takeaway that is primary, and I think you probably could pick this out, and I hope it is a takeaway from what I've already shared, but I just really want to nail this on home, that God is so trustworthy. Whatever you're going through, whatever you have faced, maybe you have not seen what you consider justice in a long, long time. You've gone through something very, very difficult. Maybe it was a relationship something. Maybe it's a financial something. Maybe it's a job something. Maybe it's your calling. Whatever it is, I want for you to just really look at the Scripture and make it yours, because God is so trustworthy. Today, I believe he wants for you to know he's everything you need. He's a covenant God. He cannot go back on his word. This is his word to you. These are his promises to you. He is creator. He has an order that has to be heeded. The wicked may get away with it for a little bit, but they are not getting away with it for eternity. You can wait and you can trust him. He's going to take good care of you. Jerry Savelle says that, and I love this. One of my best friends just shared this with me, and I was like, this is so right down the line with what I believe this passage is telling us. She said that Jerry Savelle said that God created Satan, and God is in control of Satan. We have got to remember this. And when you have attacks, God is never, ever going to let Satan have the last word. He will ensure that you will win if you do not quit. So today, I challenge you to step up to your call. Step up with a fervency and a passion. Get that second win. This is your word today. You can memorize this. This is what an acrostic is all about. It's supposed to be easier for you to remember this and dwell upon it and believe its promises and make these a part of your everyday. So I challenge you to go back over this one, especially if you go through some tough times. This is a passage for you, a psalm that tells us that we can trust. We can lift our praise and our adoration to a God who loves us, who's in covenant with us, who is everything we need and everything that we can count on. Oh, let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this study this week. And I thank you for unpacking this for us and helping us to experience this psalm. And Lord, I just pray that those who have listened in, although this is a lot of information very fast, that they can really just go back to this passage and it will be very dear to them right now. And Lord, that this will be a passage that they will run to when it seems like things don't make sense and that they are struggling and suffering and they don't understand why and they don't understand why wicked are getting away with things and maybe they're even tempted to go that way. Lord, I just pray that you will be with them and you'll help them to know that you are Jehovah. And we can trust you, and that you see, you hear, you're there, and you will take good care of us. I just praise you. I lift you on high, for it's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Well, you guys, I'll see you in 2 weeks. Thanks for joining me. Bye-bye.